going to focus on verses 11 through 12, but I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing for us. We only have 11 and 12 up there, but starting from verse 9, Jesus teaching us the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then this is today's focus. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And so last week, we talked together about how the Lord's Prayer, it teaches us that God must become preeminent in our lives. So when you think about the Lord's Prayer, it's about who God is. He becomes preeminent. And then everything else in our lives, it has to be shaped by who he is and what he desires. And so when we engage in the Lord's Prayer, it's about acknowledging God more than anything, that you are preeminent, and it's who you are that begins to shape my life. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. And as Jesus continues to teach us to pray, today's emphasis on giving us our daily bread and forgiving us of our debts, it teaches us and it challenges us to see all of our needs through the lens of who God is and what he desires. The Lord's Prayer, it challenges us to see all of our needs through the lens of who God is and what he desires. Okay? So there's two truths that the Lord's Prayer teaches us. And so the first truth is this. Prayer teaches us to adopt a posture of total dependence on God. So when we come before God through prayer, it teaches us to adopt this posture of dependence on God. Look at verse 11 once again. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. Now, it's so important for us to understand what Jesus is trying to teach us here in the context of the overall prayer. Because it's not just coming before God and saying, "Okay, God, here's a grocery list of everything that I need. Or here's all my problems, and I need solutions, and this is what you need to do for me. Give us today our daily bread." But Jesus says, no, you have to understand this in the context of, God, you are our Father who is in heaven, that ultimately it's about you. Hallowed be your name, that your name be glorified, that your name be magnified, no matter what happens, that it is about your kingdom, your reign and your power, that your will be done. Because when we think about prayer, it's natural for us to turn prayers into the things that we need. And yes, the reality is that God desires to hear from us. And he desires to understand what is going on in our lives, right? And so if there are specific struggles that are going on in our workplace, or if there's specific struggles that are going on personally, or conflicts of relationships, yes, God desires to hear those things from us. But it's easy, and I would argue natural, for us to turn our prayers into, God, here's what I need. But Jesus says, no, even before coming before God to present your requests, you have to recognize that it's God who comes first. It's God who comes first. It's God who has to take center stage in our lives. And that's why he teaches us to first think about who God is and what he desires, that his name be glorified and that his will be done before we come before him with the specific needs in our lives. And that's exactly what Jesus teaches us later on in Matthew 6:33. He reminds us, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so Jesus isn't saying that, yes, the things that you need, the things that are going on in our lives, the struggles that you're experiencing, that somehow God doesn't care for those things. But the way that God answers and provides for the needs in our lives is by what? Causing us to seek first his kingdom. So that we can recognize and realize who he is. Right? Think about what Jesus is saying. Seek first his kingdom. Understand that God is a God who reigns over all. That he has the power to provide for what we need. And that he has the wisdom to understand what is best for us. And he will move, because he is good, to accomplish what is best for us. Seek first the kingdom of God. And it's only when we realize, God, you have to come first in our lives, that we can then have the confidence to say, because this is who you are, give us today our daily bread and forgive us of our debts. Now, when the disciples were hearing what Jesus was teaching, give us today our daily bread, they would have probably understood what Jesus was referring to, which was what? The story of when Israel was journeying through the wilderness, right? Right after God rescued them from the land of Egypt, and as God was leading them on towards the promised land, that through the journey in the wilderness that God provided for them daily by giving them manna. We see this in Exodus 16. God gave them bread to feed his people through the journey. And when God gave them bread, he says what? Go outside early in the morning and collect enough for what you need for that day. And you're going to do this Monday through Saturday. And then on Saturday, because Sunday is Sabbath and you shouldn't be working, collect enough for what you will need for Saturday and Sunday. And do this every day when you are journeying through the wilderness. And so they went and they collected. Now, some people collected more and some people collected less. But when you read through the story of Exodus, it says that whatever they collected, it's exactly what they needed for that day. And when people actually collected more and tried to save that, the next day just went bad. And it was unedible. Now think about what God is doing there. And think about why God provided for his people on a daily basis. Manna from bread. And then just leading them every single day in this journey through the wilderness. And why they had to go out every single day to collect for what they needed for that day. Because God could have, given them, hey, here's 40 years of supply of manna. And so you're just going to have to truck this around. And here's a map for you to follow. And so, you know what? I've given you everything that you need, and so I'll just see you 40 years later. But God doesn't do that, right? But it's so that people would not forget, as God's presence went before them, and as God's provisions for them appeared every single day, it's so that the people would be reminded daily of who God is and who they were. That they were the chosen people to worship God, and that through their commitment to God, that others would come to know who this God was. Because the reality is that our tendency is what? Our tendency is to forget. It's to forget about who God is. It's to forget about what God provided. And we see that all right from the get-go in the book of Genesis. When God provides for Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, they forgot that God provided for them everything that they needed. And they fixated on the one thing that God says you shouldn't eat because it's not good for you. And so God tells them, hey, every morning you go out to collect this bread, recognize that I am here, walking with you every single step. And I see what you need, and I'm going to provide for you what is best. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching us. That we need to live our lives in this absolute and total dependence on God. Even for the most basic necessities of life. Because when you think about what is basic, it doesn't get any more basic than bread. Right? Give us today our daily bread, what we need today to survive. For many of us, it's the small and the basic things where, like, God, don't worry about it. I got it. Right? I can prepare for myself breakfast, make a sandwich, right? For these daily things, we think, okay, God, I got it. But it's the big things, the big decisions that we need to make. But God says, no, it's even the most basic things that you need in your life that you need to come and depend on God. All your necessities, finances, kids, job, health, community, friendships. God says, ask and I will give you what you need for that day. Notice how Jesus doesn't say, give us today what we're going to need 10 years from now. But it's what we're going to need today. I heard Pastor Keller say something like, when God doesn't answer your prayers in the way that you want him to answer your prayers, it's because he loves you enough to expose what is truly ruling in your heart, right? Because think about that. When you come before God, and when you have these prayer requests, and when you bring them before God, but it doesn't seem like God is answering your prayers, then what gets exposed is what is truly ruling in your heart. And he actually says that's actually the best way for you to get to know who you really are. If you really want to know who you are, then come before the Lord and pray and see what happens when it doesn't feel like God is answering your prayers. Because if you are seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and even the things that you're praying for, even if those things don't necessarily become answered in the way that you want God to answer, you can still cling on to God. And you're still going to be able to say, God, yes, it's difficult and it's tough, but Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In other words, God, I trust in you. I know that you are wise and that you are at work and doing what is best for me. So even if I don't understand, I'm going to continue to trust in knowing that you are doing your best for me. Versus, think about what happens if you get upset and that leads to despair. Then you become frustrated and maybe even angry and maybe even jaded in your relationship with God. Because you feel like he's not giving you the things that you need or you deserve. Then what does that tell you about what's really the most important thing in your life? Right? It's that thing that you're praying about. It's not God. And so Dr. Keller says, really, sometimes, when God causes you to wait, and as you're praying and praying and praying, and he causes you to wait, or sometimes when God answers your prayer, but not necessarily in the way that you want him to answer, it's actually the grace of God at work in your life that's exposing your heart, that's helping you to understand. You don't truly realize what should be the most important thing, which is your relationship with God. And you're seeking to find what you need from God. You're seeking to find that in something or someone else. Give us this day our daily bread. It means trusting that God is our Father. Trusting that God is a good Father who knows what's best for us. And that he's going to give us exactly what we need to thrive. He's going to give us what we need to thrive. To reflect the reality of who he is. To cultivate this hunger and desire to know him more. And the question is, are you willing to trust in your Heavenly Father? That he will daily provide for you? And are you willing to depend on him? Or is it easy for you to depend on something or someone else? Right? How are you making certain decisions of understanding what is really important for you? Is it from the Father's wisdom in his heart? Where we're saying, God, give us what is best for us according to who you are and what you desire us to accomplish. Or are we saying, God, I know what's best, so give me what I think I need in this moment. But Jesus says, no, give us this day our daily bread. It means that, God, we're trusting in you and we're depending on you and believing by faith that you are good enough, that you are wise enough, and that you are powerful enough to do what is best for us. And so prayer, it teaches us to adopt a posture of dependence on God. Right? Think about how transformative this would be in your life. If every single morning you woke up and you came before God in this posture of dependence and said, God, I don't know what this day holds for me. I don't know how things are going to be in my class. I don't know how things are going to be at work. But God, give us this day our daily bread. Give us exactly what we need so that we will continue to acknowledge you as our Father who is good, that we will continue to seek your will and your desire for us. Just think about what this would mean, not only in our individual lives, but even for our church. To say that in this season that you're bringing us through, give us today our daily bread. Not what we feel like we're going to need 5 years from now, but what we're going to need today to accomplish your purposes that you have spoken into us. Not only does it teach us to adopt a posture of dependence, but prayer also teaches us to adopt a posture of humility before God, right? Posture of humility before God. And Jesus says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Because when you see and experience the goodness of God, do you know what happens? It humbles you. We see that in Scripture over and over again. When people experience and see the goodness of God, it humbles you. Because you're able to see, when you see the goodness, when you're able to see the reality of who God is, then, and only then, that you're able to see that you're really not as wise as you think you are. You're really not as strong as you think you are. You're really not as able as you think you are. And that ultimately that you're not able to find the solutions to your own problems. You can't save yourself. And that's why Paul reminds us in Romans 2:4. He says this, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? That sense of repentance, it's not just, you know, like, feeling sorry for all the wrong that you've done. But that sense of repentance is this acknowledgement, God, I am not who I thought I was. And it brings you to this posture of humility. And that's when the story of the prodigal son, Jesus teaches us this parable in Luke 15. When the son goes low and low and low, right? Rejects his father, demands his inheritance, goes to the city, parties, blows everything off. And the friends that he thought were his friends abandon him when he loses all his money. When he can't go any lower, this is what Jesus tells us. Luke 15, 17 through 19. But when he came to himself, I think that's so important. That sometimes God allows trials in our lives. Sometimes God allows us to go the way that we want to go. Because that's the only way that we will come to ourselves. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. It's when the son remembers his father's kindness and goodness, the way that he treated not only his sons, but even his servants. It's when he realizes the goodness of the father that he's willing to, what, humble himself. Right? Because that's a lot of humble pie he had to swallow. But he says, I'm going to go back to my father. Prayer teaches us to adopt a posture of humility before God. Forgive us of our debts. Debts there meaning owing something that we have no ability to pay. That you owe God something that you have no ability to pay. Pastor Kevin DeYoung, he writes this about our debts. He says, and I quote, every day we live as debtors to mercy. Do you believe that? Do you believe that just as you have needs to ask for every day, so you have sins that need to be forgiven every day? Every single debt deserves to be met with God's righteous displeasure, but think about the many debts we owe to God, debts we are powerless to pay. That we are in debt. Yet, because of his goodness, we can adopt this posture of humility to say, God, there's no way that I can pay back what I owe you, but forgive us. And Jesus reminds us once again that we can pray, forgive us our debts, because what? Because God is our Father. And so on one hand, that means that there is confidence in knowing that our Father will love us no matter what. Right? That's, I think, one of the rights that we have as children. Because all of us have parents. And a good father, even though he might get upset and maybe even angry at the actions of his son or his daughter, a good father is never going to say, you know what? You didn't put the dishes away? Forget it. You're no longer part of my family, right? There's a sense of assurance and confidence in knowing that our Father will always love us, but also at the same time realizing that some things that we do, it's not going to please our Father. It's going to displease him. It's going to anger him. It's going to go against his will and his desire for us. And so that's why when we say, God, forgive us of our debts, it's in the context of that relationship. And in that relationship, we recognize on one hand, yes, the Father loves us, but on the other hand, we've injured his heart. And so we're coming before God with this sense of confidence, yet in the sense of humility to say, Father, forgive us. And because we receive forgiveness, Jesus says we have to forgive others. In other words, that we no longer hold them in our debt. Now, forgiveness, this is from Zacharias, I'm butchering his last name, Ursinus. He's a German theologian, long, long time ago, 1500s. He says, when you think about forgiveness, this is how you think about forgiveness. So on one hand, when we forgive, it means that you're not going to seek revenge. Someone did something wrong, you're not going to seek revenge for that, right? You're no longer going to hold them in your debt, right? Sometimes we do that. And even though we might not seek revenge right away, like we hold it in, like, oh, that one time that person did this, and so we just look for that opportunity to get back at them. And he says, no, forgiveness means we no longer seek revenge. But on the other hand, forgiveness doesn't mean that there's not going to be consequences, right? Just because you forgive doesn't erase that there isn't going to be consequences. So, for example, if you've did something where the relationship with that person has been, severed, damaged, then are there going to be consequences? Of course. It might take years to repair that relationship. And so forgiveness doesn't mean that there aren't going to be consequences. Also, forgiveness does not mean that we remove our judgment right? I think we live in a culture where it says when you forgive people, you don't judge them. The reality is that there's judgment and there's being judgmental. Now, Scripture says we shouldn't be judgmental, but Scripture calls us to judge because we have to know what is right and what is wrong according to God's standards. So when we forgive, it doesn't mean that we don't judge what happened in that situation according to God's word. And he says forgiveness is not forgetting. But he says ultimately forgiveness, it's an act of our will where we're no longer willing to hold that person in our debt. And so that's what Jesus says. That even as we ask God not to hold us in his debt, we're saying, God, we don't hold others in our debt. And here's the key of really cultivating this heart of forgiveness for others. If you really want to forgive others, then as hard as this might sound, pray for them. Right? Pray for them over and over and over again that God would bless them. Pray for them that God would reveal his grace and mercy into their lives. Pray for them that God would use them to glorify himself. Pray for them over and over again, because the reality is that when you pray for them, it's really hard to stay feeling angry and mad towards that person, right? Unless, as Pastor Keller points out, he says, and I quote, it is hard to stay angry unless you feel superior. And it is hard to feel superior if you are praying for them, since in prayer you approach God as a forgiven sinner. Sure, if you're perfect and you have never sinned, then maybe you have the right to feel superior. And because you're superior, that you can feel angry towards that person. But the reality is when you approach God to say, God, I am a sinner who have been forgiven by you, so forgive those who have wronged us. Then you're never going to feel superior. Jesus says what? Pray that God will treat you like how you treat others. Think about that. Jesus says, pray that God, even as I treat others around me this way, please treat me this way. Man, that would radically change the way that we pray, right? But because we have been forgiven by God, we can say, God, forgive those who have hurt us, who have wronged us, and I release them from our debt. And we can only do that when we are willing to let go of our rights. When we're willing to say, God, I humble myself before you. Because even the mercy and grace that I've received from you, I don't deserve it. And because I don't deserve your forgiveness, but you have forgiven me anyways, it's in that heart of grace that I'm willing to forgive. When you pray, it teaches you to depend on God. And it teaches you to be humble before God. And that's what Jesus reminds us, that if you truly recognize the reality of who God is, then you cannot help but to depend on him for everything. And you cannot help but to be humble before him. And so once again, the one thing for us this morning is this. The Lord's Prayer challenges us to see all of our needs through the lens of who God is and what he desires. Right? Do you see all of your needs through the lens of who God is? Through the lens of who God is. That God is not a genie in the bottle. that when you have need, you rub that lamp and he poop pops up and he grants your request. I was reading an article and they were using this illustration. What if there's a 5-year-old who found the magical genie in a bottle? Like, how would you feel? And the writer says, I would be scared out of my mind, right? Because the 5-year-old would ask for things that, from his or her perspective, is the thing that they want. But you know, as a 30-year-old or a 20-year-old, some of those things, it's not going to be the best thing for you or for that person, right? Like, rub that lamp. God, give me as much candy as I want to eat. You know it's not going to be good for that person. And so a loving father, when their children says, what do you want for breakfast? I want Frosted Flakes. Or, you know, like, I want the sugariest cereal possible. And the dad says, no, here's some yogurt, some granola, here's some fruit. Have these. These are better for you. And the writer says, you know what? As we get older, we feel like, well, I'm not a 5-year-old anymore. You know, I'm 18, and so I know better. But then the writer says, but do you really know better? Right? As a 30-year-old reflecting back on when you were 18 and the things that you thought you needed, right? If God really granted those requests, like, he was reflecting back on when he was 19 and there was this girl that he really wanted and he was praying, God, you know, like, I really like this person and open this door, blah, 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 blah. But that never happened. And then when he was in his mid-20s, he met his wife and they got married. And he's reflecting back on those days and he says, thank God, God didn't answer my prayers when I was 19. Even as a 50-year-old, I have to be able to see my needs through the lens of who God is. I think that's the challenge. When we say, give us today our daily bread, can you see your needs through the lens of who God is? And can you see your needs through the lens of what he desires for you? So Jesus encourages us to pray, to depend on God for everything. Before we go into our prayer time, because like just like last week, I just feel like as we're talking about this topic of prayer, it would in many ways be hypocritical for us to not pray, right? When Jesus is saying, hey, this is how you need to pray, and then we talk about it, but then we actually don't pray. It's like, I don't know, it's like taking a class on, hey, this is how you should drive a car. And then you just read, but then you never get behind a car and actually learn to drive. And so we need to pray. But this is why cultivating our prayer muscle is so important. And this is a long quote, once again, from Dr. Keller. I've just been rereading a lot of his books and his articles and so forth. And this is what he says about prayer. Now listen to this very carefully, right? He says, and I quote, your prayer life is the litmus test of your relationship with God. Your prayer life is the litmus test of your relationship. So when you think about how is my relationship with God, easy. How is your prayer life? He goes on, he says, how do you know if you're really a Christian? How do you know? That's a hard question. But I tell you this, your prayer life is the best way to find out. Don't look at whether you witness day and night on the street corner. Don't look at whether you're a moral person. Don't look at whether you go to church. Don't look at even how much you know your Bible, because you realize other people see those things. So it's possible to be motivated out of a desire to look good. It's possible to have an external kind of religion and be motivated by environmental factors. But only God sees you when you pray. And as a result, it's your prayer life that tells you what you're really made of spiritually, unquote. pray that this will challenge some of you. That it's only as you peer into your prayer life that will really help you to see where you are spiritually. And if I were to guess, if you were honest with where you are in your prayer life, I would probably guess that you're just not very intimate with God. You might have the trappings of doing the religious thing or doing the right thing because that's how you grew up. But if I was to ask you, do you really know God as a good Father? Are you living every single day trusting in His provisions? Are you really humbling yourself to say, God, forgive me, that I'm willing to forgive those around me? The best indicator of that is really your prayer life. And that's why it's so important for us to pray. And yes, pray in your prayer closets. That alone time with God. But also, Jesus says, hey, this is about the community of faith. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus says, hey, stop thinking so individually. Because it's about God wanting to grow and bless His family. And we're part of that family. And so I want to invite us as we close out our time together. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debts. We want to spend some time praying this. But before we do that, I want to encourage you. When you think about give us today our daily bread, what is it that you need? What areas of your life is it hard for you to trust that God will provide, not necessarily what you feel like you need, but God will provide you exactly what you need so that you will thrive and that you will be more like Him. Are there areas of your life where you know that you need to come before God to say, God, forgive me of my debts? Maybe it's outright disobedience. Or maybe it's inward disobedience and rebellion. Or are there people that you need to release from your heart to say, yes, this person, they might have wronged me, they might have hurt me, but God, because I have received forgiveness, I'm willing to release them from my debt. And we can do this, why? Because of the cross of Christ. How do we know that God will provide for us daily what we need? How do we know that God will provide His forgiveness when we come before Him? It's because Jesus, His death and resurrection. It's the cross that reminds us that God has already given us our daily provision. He has already spoken this forgiveness into our lives. And it's in that confidence that we can come and say, God, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts. We have also forgiven our debtors. And so we want to spend some time praying together. Okay. If you could stand with me before we pray, let's respond as we sing a song together, just to respond from our hearts. And then as we respond through the song, we want to spend some time.